Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Galatians chapter 1, we were taught that the reason for Paul to start the epistle with Paul, an apostle, was to establish his authority. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, what I want you to understand, we're looking at laying the groundwork. And this is where the groundwork begins, right here in this first verse. Now, yes, he's given greetings to these people. We understand that. And he starts out, though, by telling them he is an apostle. Now, again, since every word is God-breathed, it's the Holy Spirit giving him this word. And it's in order for people to take note of not Paul the man or Paul the preacher, rather of Paul the apostle, that the Holy Spirit has chosen him to write this book and put him into this office. Now, why is it important that he emphasize his apostleship? So that it would be an authoritative position in the eyes of the people. They must be able now to understand that when he proclaims the Bible doctrine as given by God, this is more than just a competing opinion with the Judaizers. Rather, this is he authoritatively, by the office God has given him, putting down the doctrine as it is to men as they are, but also exposing the false doctrine for what it is. Now, I know there are people today get upset when you expose false doctrine. I've always found that interesting. When you expose sin, whether it's in churches or whether it's in individuals, whether you expose false ways, false worship, or whatever, people who are not in those things, and they claim to be Christians, get mad at you for saying that. Why is it that people get more upset with someone like myself for confronting error, for confronting sin, than they do with the person that's actually practicing the error, that is practicing the sin? You see, people that are pacifist and they don't want to upset the apple cart have a real problem with Romans chapter 16. When the Lord says to mark them which cause divisions among you contrary to the doctrine, that is the word of God. And so we have to take a stand. You see, an apostle in the church should be identified for us now. And I say that by meaning this. Paul is an apostle. We don't have the office of apostle today. This was getting the church established. But in that day, in the establishment of the local church, we find that there were men that had positions that were above the pastor, and that was the apostles. That office has ceased. Now, the word itself means one sent forth. This is someone God has chosen and sent with a message, with the full authority, as a representative of the sender. And he's dealing with those issues which must be established for the local church. Now, many times you'll hear people in a discussion say, well, Peter says, Paul says, John says, Moses said, and I understand what they mean by that, but what we need to really understand is that those men were merely those that wrote down the words of the Holy Spirit. When 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is given by inspiration. That means everyone is God-breathed. When Jesus said that not one jot or one tittle, not one dot of the I or cross of the T would pass away, heaven and earth would pass before it. When he said that he would preserve it all, totally, in Psalms 12 and verses 6 and 7, when he said every word of God is pure. So when he laid all of that out for us, it was God's word. Some say, well, I believe a certain psalm that doesn't have a title on it is more of David's style. That's not necessarily so. Some say, I don't think Paul wrote Hebrews because it wasn't his style. Well, that's only right in the sense that there's no book of which Paul is reputed to be the author's his style, because he just simply had every word put down that the Holy Spirit breathed out. It wasn't that God inspired his thoughts and then guided his words, but let it be Paul's words and style. No, it was God's word. It is God's word. There's a reason we call it God's word. And you need to understand that. And listen, that is better than saying Paul or John, Peter. Those are great men that I am not worthy to shine their shoes. But I'm telling you that they're far below the Lord. The greatest authority is the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit tells them to tell them you're an apostle, he's letting them know that he's coming in that authority of the office that God has given him. So an apostle in the church, therefore, is one who had been handpicked and personally taught by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, let's look over in verses 17 and 18 of this first chapter. Then went I up to Jerusalem, and this is where the testimony of the apostle is being given, to them which were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Well, now we see him there. He is actually those 3 years in the desert. And in those 3 years' time, he is taught of God. Now notice verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's the Spirit of God, the revelation of Christ, that taught him this doctrine that he's writing to them. And there was 3 years in the deserts in which Paul, a man who would have been equal to a Harvard PhD in today's world, I guess, because he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. But God had to retrain this liberal education that he received. Now, all true ministers must remember that they are called and equipped for their work by the Lord. Now, for a Christian leader to forget his source of authority, to forget that his only authority is Christ and his word, then that is to forfeit the power, that authority and ministry that was given him, because that authority that he was to be received was to reach men. You see, too many preachers are going out there, and a lot of young preachers are going out there with big egos, trying to build their own little empires and to be an emperor over it. Well, no, we are servants of God, not emperors of God. We are servants of God. And we need to understand that. Now, being that he is handpicked by God makes it quite clear that it is not by man. Now, someone may ask, well, didn't the church at Antioch pick Paul? Well, let's look at that. In Acts chapter 13, in those first two verses, we read this. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them? It was the Holy Ghost. We're told that. It wasn't the elders of the church. And I'm very strong on local church. But it was the Holy Ghost that calls. Some authors say that Paul is defending his apostleship. I rather think that since the Holy Spirit is the author, Paul is only writing down what the Holy Spirit wants written. The Holy Spirit is trying to help the church at Galatia to discern between the teaching of the Judaizers and of the truth. He's trying to help them discern which teaching they should accept. And you see, the Judaizers have not the seal of apostleship by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's look at the rest of verse 1 there. In the rest of verse 1, as he is continuing here, we begin to see the apostle is opening up. He finishes it out by saying, God the Father, who raised him from the dead. See, it's by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Well, we've already seen in this first chapter, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. They're all involved in the local church. But he emphasizes here, God the Father who raised him from the dead. No one can read the New Testament rightly and fail to see the prominence given to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially in that it is often referred to in the epistles that the Holy Spirit dictated to the Apostle Paul. Now, by raising Christ from the dead in his humanity, God the Father was vindicating his claims of deity and also by that certified the atoning effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It's a shame that so many hymn books are eliminating the word blood because it's offensive. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Colossians 1:14 tells us that our forgiveness of sin is through his blood. And when we see the singing in heaven, we also see the people singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. If you hate the word, the blood of Christ, you'll hate heaven. But on the other hand, I don't think anybody wants to burn in hell either, do they? Isn't it interesting? You think you know how God ought to do it when there is no way that you can save yourself, let alone anyone else. Just trust God. Trust God. Now, in dealing with the Judaizers, they must realize that the Lord's resurrection, again, is a stated, completed fact. They need to understand that the shed blood of Christ on the cross, that his resurrection, all of that is the full payment for their sin. Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.